Good times continue in the land of the Golden State Warriors. This time, a victorious night against Joel Embiid, who is eating up the Warriors alive inside. The Warriors withstand that. They might be moving up in the standings. Kylan Mills and I are about to host a Friday Night Live extravaganza. Join the party. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and probably a lot more at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Sautzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. Kylan, despite the fact that Joel Embiid ate up the Warriors inside, his final stat sheet, just to read it to you and everyone else, 46 points. He had 22 free throw attempts, hitting 19 of those, was 13 of 23 from the field, even hit a three-pointer. It looked precarious for a while there, but the Warriors, in the typical fashion that we've seen throughout this dynasty, stepped on the gas, especially in the fourth quarter, pulled away, the pool party was raging, and they're victorious. Kylan, your immediate reaction to the Warriors winning 120-112.
My first reaction is one of Jordan Poole's best games of the season. You mentioned that fourth quarter push by the Warriors. Jordan Poole had 19 points in the fourth. He looked so much better in general today. Just he did a better job of taking care of the basketball. He made smarter decisions. He let the game come to him more and didn't force as many shots as we usually see, or those times where he just like bolts down the court with reckless abandon and no control. Like, he just looked more under control today. He looked more at ease. He let the game come to him, and everything was positive. He had that huge fourth quarter push. He finished with 33 points to lead the Golden State Warriors. So I do have to say a lot of credit needs to go to Jordan Poole. I commend Jordan Poole. I know we have criticized him at times on this show. And you know what? I think it's been fair as far as some of our criticism and criticism of the fans in terms of his decision-making. But I thought today he was on point, and he was a big reason why the Warriors got this win. So that's my number one encouraging thing to take moving forward. And the second was the fact that the Warriors responded in the fourth quarter after a brutal third quarter. To be honest, earlier in the season when the Warriors have come out and not played well in the third, which we've talked about has been kind of a strange anomaly for them this season, they just give up. Flat out, the fourth quarter, they come out and they just don't even show signs of life at times. But today it was a totally different story. They came out, they battled. And so that's just something that I think is a great sign to me as far as what the chemistry, the intensity of this team is at, where the team is at right now, is that they came back and they battled back and they showed some perseverance after a rough third quarter, which is not the way this team has played all season. So I think it's a great team win. It's a really positive win. Granted, they were without James Harden, so you do have to acknowledge that piece, but you're still going up against Joel Embiid, one of the best players in the game. And now I know Joel had a lot of points in the big picture in the game, but down the stretch in the critical minutes of the fourth quarter, the Warriors came up with a couple of huge stops with Kevon Looney and also Draymond Green one time coming over and helping double Joel Embiid, and the Warriors defense came up when it needed to. That was also huge.
Absolutely. And you know, in a lot of ways, I was thinking about the James Harden absence, and I was kind of thinking to myself that might even help the 76ers a little bit in this game, just because it forced them to go to Joel Embiid play after play. Tobias Harris was also relied upon a little more, and he had a great night as well. I think he poured in 23 points. On 10 of 12 shooting. But the Warriors, again, in that fourth quarter, just surged. And they played with the urgency we're normally accustomed to that we haven't seen a lot this year. It's crazy. Like, in the fourth quarter, you could feel the pressure from your TV screen, from your living room, from wherever you were. You could feel the intensity. And those are the moments where the Warriors, I feel like, thrive the most. Like, those moments don't rattle them. But then you look at Philadelphia, like you said, the pressure was tightening. The intensity was rising. And Philadelphia, I thought, did not respond, whereas the Warriors did. You know, I actually decided to do some research on the Warriors' third quarter struggles this year. Went back to every single game and every single box score. The Warriors in the third quarter this year have a losing record. They're 34-40-1, meaning of the 75 regular season games this year, The Warriors have outscored their opposition in the third quarter 34 times. They've been outscored 40 times, and they've had one third quarter where they actually tied the opposition. It is weird. We're 75 games in. Any theories on why the Warriors this season are not a good third quarter team? That's totally against what their normal ethos. What do you think about that?
Early on in the season, I thought it was just a little bit of a lack of hustle and lack of intensity from the players coming out in the third quarter. It seems like they just came out from the locker room asleep. Now we're seeing a different Warriors team late in the season than I think we have in a majority, in that, as we saw tonight, they're able to rally in the fourth and come together and bring out that energy and intensity. So I don't know that that's necessarily the case right now, but my immediate thought, if you're talking about two teams and one team is playing significantly worse in the third quarter, is what are the halftime adjustments the coaches are making or aren't making in order to counteract whatever their opponent did in the first half? So to me, that's initially what you think of when you think of there being a huge discrepancy in third quarter performances between one team being really good and one team being really bad, is what are the adjustments that the coaches are making tactically, rotation-wise, whatever it may be in the third quarter. And then you also got to look at what personnel are they rolling out in the third quarter. Is there a common thread or a common theme? I think someone already pointed out in the comments here that Anthony Lamb was the reason the third quarter cratered. he did get quite a bit of time in the third quarter, but that is something else to look at. Is there a common thread with the personnel and the rotations that the Warriors are bringing out after half? And is that a possible, you know, common thread again, or a reason? Or to me, like I said, it lends itself to what are the changes that are going on at halftime coaching wise, and why is one team, it seems, you know, outsmarting the other with those adjustments that are being made after half.
Totally. By the way, your dog has the case of the itchies, and you can hear his collar right now, and that's making my dog bark. Can you hear Bubs right now barking in the background?
Oh no, wait, he can hear that really on this mic?
Yeah, I can hear the jingle from your dog. I love it. And my dog Bubba, aka Bubs, aka Bubba Fett, aka Bubba Ganoush, aka Bubba Fooey, Bubba Booey. He'll rattle a little bit there. You know what was weird tonight, Kylan, is that everyone here who watches this show regularly understands my sentiments about Kerr's use of the two-way players this year. If you're a brand new viewer, I have not been very happy about the minute distribution, how uneven it's been. But tonight was one of the rare nights where, given the Warriors were relatively undersized, with Philly having Tobias Harris out there, and obviously Joel Embiid, I actually was like wondering, where is Anthony Lamb? I thought they could have used him in that fourth quarter a little bit. Anthony Lamb had a relatively meager night when it comes to minutes. He played 11 minutes total. And shooting wise was 0 for 2 from 3, only had 2 points. Were you feeling the same way too, or no? Was I alone in that?
You were alone in that. I wasn't asking where Anthony Lamb was in the fourth quarter by any means. And I know you kind of pointed out some of the rotations you felt like tonight were wonky. And I felt like that at points all season, but whatever happened in the fourth quarter worked. So I was rolling with it. And I certainly wasn't necessarily missing Anthony Lamb, but I do think you've got to give a lot of credit to Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, and then also Steph Curry came up with 8 rebounds in this game. A couple of those late in the fourth quarter, in those critical possessions, all of a sudden it was Curry coming up with the board. And you're like, what? But the Warriors really came together as a team and crashed hard. That's one thing that stood out to me. Kevon Looney ended up with 10, but also Green had 7. Curry had 8. Klay Thompson had 6. Dante DiVincenzo had 3. Jamichael Green had 6. So it was really a collective effort on the glass to out-rebound the 76ers, even if Philadelphia was bigger. And I think that's critical for the Warriors' confidence moving forward, as they are a team that's not going to be bigger than many opponents in the NBA. They can win that battle on the glass.
Absolutely. And one interesting stat, too, besides rebounding, as you mentioned, the 76ers had 38 total rebounds. The Warriors had 49. So they out-rebounded them by 11. And then points in the paint, a stat that the Warriors usually lose. They were very much in it tonight. They still lost that battle, but it was only 50-42. So the Warriors were holding their own inside. But I thought what Kerr did coaching wise, which was brilliant, was he treated this game in many ways like a playoff game. When it comes to minutes, because if you look at who played in this game the most, Draymond had 34 and change. Did you say all this already? Did you mention these all?
No, I didn't mention the exact timing of the minutes. Go for it.
Oh yeah. So Looney actually played more than he normally does. He played 30 minutes tonight and they needed him. Klay had 36 minutes. Steph had 38 minutes. And then Jordan Poole played 32 minutes. We've been seeing him play a lot less, especially when it comes off the bench. He's normally more in the 25-minute range. So that's who got the bulk of the minutes. Jonathan Kuminga only played 15. When we come back, we'll talk about his struggles. He did not do great, but at the same time, I think part of that was just the burden of dealing with the Philadelphia 76ers defense, which is one of the best in the NBA, and just having to defend Joel Embiid. I mean, that task did fall on Kuminga for part of this game, and that'll wear you down a lot. We also got some sound to play and so much more. First, got to give some love, though, to FanDuel, the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network, and of course, Locked On Warriors. March Madness is here. The tournament is heating up. Aztecs for life, baby. My alma mater, San Diego State, defeated the top seed in the tournament, Alabama. This tournament is heating up. Is your Kylan, you went to a D2 or D3 school. Is that correct? What's your alma mater? Who are you rooting for?
Division II, Lewis University. If you follow the Miami Heat at all, it was the school, at least temporarily, or for one season, two seasons of Max Strus.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. Are you? I asked your hubby, Charlie, if he has a stake in this, because he went to, I think,
Ohio. He went to Ohio.
University? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So are either of you rooting for anyone specifically in this tournament?
Well, I'll tell you what, my bracket is busted thanks to Houston losing today. I mean, like, Alabama and Houston I had in the finals, so I'm over it. As far as rooting for anyone, man, anyone who's left, no. But I do adopt teams in different places that I've lived. I cheer on certain teams. I'm cheering for Gonzaga, I will say. I think that they deserve to go all the way. They've been the one seed the last couple of years, have kind of choked in the tournament, honestly. So, you know.
I
wouldn't mind seeing West Coast Conference school come through and make it on the big stage.
Totally. And when it comes to March Madness, obviously people love to bet on it. And there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's, again, $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team is going to cut down the net, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports book of Locked On and the NBA.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Kylan Mills. You can follow this program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Moses Moody, I was really stoked. I thought he played a solid game tonight. Even though he only played 8 minutes, he made a big three. Those were his lone points, but he was also in the positive in terms of plus minus, finished with 3 points. But again, I think he's no longer a liability out there. On either side of the ball, whether it's offense or defense. I just love seeing him out there play. What was your thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga? He finished the game 1-for-7 from the field. It was a struggle. He was 1-for-5 from beyond the arc. Again, I was seeing a lot of just exhaustion, because he was oftentimes assigned defensively to guard Joel Embiid. They were double teaming Embiid a lot, especially down the stretch. What was your impression of Kuminga, who, despite the fact that he had a rough night scoring, with just 4 points and 15 minutes of play, his value to me is still there every night? Your thoughts?
Jonathan Kuminga's value is still there because his physical gifts, his talents, his abilities are something that no other player on this team has. But I think you can expect with a young player, there are going to be some ups and downs. Bruce's comment, I'm sorry, is making me crack up. The door was closed for the record. And during that last ad break, one of my dogs pushed the door open, and like, granted, it maybe wasn't latched all the way, but like, pushed the door open. So, my apologies. My dogs want to get in on the party because they heard how much fun we're having talking about this Warriors victory. But to me, Jonathan Kuminga's value doesn't change because he's the only player that has the set of physical gifts that he has. However, with a young player, it's not surprising when you do see him have some ups and downs. He's not necessarily going to be 100% consistent every night because he's still so young. And I think that he's been better as the season has gone on at being more consistent, but I just don't know that you're going to get the exact same thing from him every single night. It doesn't concern me. I think he still has some value. It wasn't maybe his best night. I think Jonathan Kuminga needs to be aggressive in attacking the basket. He's absolutely outstanding when he is playing aggressive. But I'm not worried about him at all. I think that, you know, it's going to happen with a young player. And we have a full-blown dog party, except for your Bubba is sleeping. How can he be sleeping at a time like this, Cyrus? That's not true Warriors fan right there.
He falls asleep in like seconds.
Bubba's a fraud.
Bubba, do you want to say hi? Bubs. Hey, Bub. Bubba Ganoush. Hey, buddy. Say hi to the audience. Oh. There you go. That's Bubba Fufi right there for you. Yeah, that's my dog. People were asking for him to make his debut. And by the way, my dog has learned how to open screen doors on his own, which is not necessarily a cool thing for a dog to learn, but he knows how to do that. It's crazy.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very scary.
So when I hear your story about your dog just opening the door, I get it. Some dogs are really smart. Yep. Why don't we hear from Draymond Green? The theme of the night was absolutely Jordan Poole and a great night for him. Kylan, you mentioned the box score. I'll go off on the stats a little more, but first let's hear from Draymond, the man who punched Jordan Poole back at the beginning of the season. None of us are ever going to forget that. Talking about his teammate, Jordan Poole.
What did you guys get out of Jordan, especially late?
He was incredible. He was aggressive from the time he came in the game. I think he did a great job of picking and choosing his spots. And then also on the defensive end, he was incredible. I think, you know, that's one of the next steps for JP and his growth is locking down on that side of the ball. And it's not that you have to be a lockdown defender either. But just give consistent effort on that end. And he's growing as a young guy in this league. And, you know, he's starting to give more and more consistent effort. And, you know, that called for him being great on both sides tonight. And he was one of the main reasons, one of the main guys carrying us to that win.
Yeah, and I thought the defense especially showed up late in the game. I don't know if it was Melton or if it was Maxey who was attacking the paint, trying to drive for an easy score. And there was Jordan Poole staying right in front of him, playing tough defense. It was absolutely awesome. Wonderland writes real quick. Let's talk about how Moody took Dante's minutes, referring to Dante DiVincenzo in the fourth quarter after slumping these past few games. Kerr with his baby steps. Absolutely. I just love the fact that Kerr is starting to have more faith in Moody and is playing him more. As we're seeing the postseason approach Sunday's game against the Timberwolves, we might see Gary Payton II make his debut. The report is that he's going to be practicing with the team tomorrow. The scrimmage is the last step before a player getting clear to actually play. What are you anticipating, Kylan, when we see Gary Payton II possibly suiting up and making his debut this season for the Golden State Warriors Sunday?
It's going to be fantastic to see Gary Payton II back in a Golden State Warriors uniform. His backstory is incredible. What he's gone through this season specifically has been incredible. And now to get traded and then have to sit out for so long with adductor issues and the aftermath of an abdominal surgery, it's going to be so great just to see him come back full force with a team that you know he loves so much. He's been very open with how much he loves the Golden State Warriors. However, it's also very exciting because of what Gary Payton II brings to this team in terms of perimeter defense. The Warriors need perimeter defense. It's been one of the biggest areas of concern throughout the season, and Gary Payton II will help fill the void. I also think it's going to be very scary to see Gary Payton II and Dante DiVincenzo potentially on the floor together as two of the best on-ball defenders, in my opinion, in the NBA. So that's going to be exciting. Also, a couple people mentioned in the comments something I do agree with and want to mention. I think Dante DiVincenzo has looked a little bit tired and worn out in recent games. A couple people are mentioning he's been slumping maybe in the last couple games. and that he looks tired. And I think that's a big factor. Dante DiVincenzo has had to fill a major void in light of Steph Curry's absence. He's had to step into the starting lineup. He's had to play a ton of minutes. We mentioned the Warriors already struggling defensively. So Dante does carry a huge defensive load night in and night out, and especially has down the stretch of the season. As I mentioned, the Warriors have dealt with some injuries in their backcourt. And so I think it also will be great to add Gary Payton II into the mix to try to give Dante DiVincenzo some rest in terms of being the Warriors, you know, lead perimeter defender, or at least a guy who's going to be looked to with a pretty heavy burden. So exciting also for that reason, because I think people are spot on in saying that Dante has been not maybe playing up to his usual standards, but he may actually be tired. That could be a thing. And Gary Payton II should help alleviate some of that and maybe give a little bit more rest to Dante.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you. Dante DiVincenzo this season is averaging 26.5 minutes per game, but over the last 10 games, you're right. He's had to fill in when Curry's been out. He's had to fill in with the Wiggins absence today, I believe, or tonight was what Wiggins' 18th game in a row he's missed now. So over the last 10 games, his minutes has gone up to 29.5 per game. So there's absolute validity in terms of the notion of Dante DiVincenzo wearing out a little bit. I was laughing at Ed Garcia's chat. Ed writes, the comment section needs to apologize to Jordan Poole and repent for their sins of slander. Repent, you sinners. Repent. I just like that word. Jordan Poole had an awesome night. Just to rehash what he did out there, 32 minutes and change, 10 of 19 from the field, 6 of 11 from beyond the arc, 33 points. He added 3 rebounds, 3 assists. The only thing, I think if Poole figures out how to make this a consistent thing, because he followed this up with a performance where I think he was like 1 for 7 from the field. If he figures out a way to make this a night in, night out occurrence, he will personify greatness, because that's usually what the difference is between a player who is good and a player who is great. A great player does it every night. They're not on one night, off another night. The consistency is the vital variable there. But an absolutely great night from Jordan Poole. And in fact, let's hear from Steve Kerr about Jordan Poole's performance tonight. Kerr thought it reminded him of the playoff version of Jordan Poole. Here's Kerr.
Yeah, I mean, he had such a great playoff run last year, had so many big games for us. And, tonight, you know, something about it felt like last year, you know, in that playoff run where Jordan is just attacking and knocking down shots, but, also getting to the line, just giving us an entirely different dimension offensively. And that's when he's at his best. And I thought he really competed down the stretch defensively as well. And he was magnificent tonight.
Yeah, he was. I would agree with that. Magnificent is apropos. Warriors Muse, a Twitter account which provides a lot of information. Kylan, you're mentioning it was like it's a relatively young individual who runs this account. They post phenomenal stats on there, and Warriors Muse wrote that the Warriors are now 11-0 against the Philadelphia 76ers in the last 10 seasons when both the Splash Brothers play. The last time the Warriors lost with both Splash Brothers. This is worded weird. It writes, the last time both Splash Brothers lost, Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid were still in high school. I don't know what that means exactly. But the point is, the Warriors, I believe, or maybe they're not undefeated. So the last time they lost with the Splash Brothers, Wiggins and Joel were both still in high school. Sorry for butchering that entirely there. Again, just a fantastic night. You look at your pups even all excited running around back there.
I was yelling at Charlie to get them out of the background because my dog started doing this little growl that he does when he wants attention, where he goes, and I was like, oh no, 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 no.
And so real quick now, looking at the standings to wrap things up, the Clippers right now are the 4 seed because the Suns lost tonight, I believe, to the Sacramento Kings. So the LA Clippers right now, so the top 3 is pretty much set. In terms of who it's going to be, I mean, we don't know for sure. I mean, the Nuggets, I think, are safe to say, are going to be the number 1 seed. The Grizzlies are the number 2 seed right now. They have a 2-game lead over the Kings, who are the 3rd seed. So in all likelihood, that's going to be your top 3, regardless of what the order is. It's 4 through everything else that's completely up in the air. Right now, the 4 seed is owned by the LA Clippers, who are 39 and 35. The Phoenix Suns are the 5 seed. They're a half game behind the Clippers at 38-35. And then the Golden State Warriors are still technically in the 6th seed, but they're tied in terms of wins and losses with the Phoenix Suns. The Warriors have played 2 more games in Phoenix. They have 1 more win and also 1 more loss than Phoenix. But both Phoenix and Golden State are a half game behind the Clippers for the 4 seed. There's now 7 games left to play. This thing is tight. They play a relatively huge game Sunday against the Timberwolves, where we're really hoping Gary Payton II makes his debut. How are you feeling about the Warriors as we go into the stretch run? 7 games remaining. Do you want me to read off the schedule real quick before you answer this question, or do you have an inkling as to where you think the team's going to lead?
Yeah, I have a couple inklings, and I also have the schedule in front of me too. Well, here, I'll read it off since we're on the subject now. So the Warriors host the Timberwolves. That's going to be another big game. They host the Pelicans. They host the Spurs, then go on the road at the Nuggets. That's a game that I've had circled for a while. That's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Then they play the Thunder. They host the Thunder back at Chase Center Tuesday, April 4th. They face the Kings and Blazers to close out the season. Those games are both on the road. Looking at the schedule coming up, I feel good about where the Warriors are at. I also feel good based on the fact that other teams in the West are losing. Like, what's going on with the Dallas Mavericks? They're like spiraling all of a sudden. And after that Kyrie trade, there was all this buzz that suddenly the Mavs were going to be contenders. Apparently they're pretenders because they have been struggling lately and the Warriors just took them down. And it seems like other teams in the West are continuing to be inconsistent. So at this point, I think looking at the schedule, these are a lot of winnable games for the Warriors. That Kings game now becomes huge based on the standings. Nuggets, another game that's going to be a really good litmus test for the Warriors. And then looking at the rest of these teams, like, I don't know that I feel real concerned. I mean, you've got the Thunder and Spurs in the mix. You should feel good about those two matchups, the Trailblazers to close out the season. And then it's the Pelicans and Timberwolves, who are both teams that will at least be somewhat competitive. But still, I think that the Warriors should have the edge. Right now, I feel very good. And I think Warriors fans should, too, because of the way this team is playing right now. I mean, they've now won 3 games in a row. They're clicking. They're playing with intensity. They're playing with energy. It's similar to how they looked during that 5-game win streak when they had that homestand. Then all of a sudden they went on the road and it just totally disappeared. Well, now it seems to be back and they have 1-2 straight on the road. And this might be the exact push the Warriors need and are looking for going into the postseason to gain a little bit of momentum. If they finish out these last set of 7 games strong, I don't know that I'd want to play the Warriors in the postseason.
I don't know if I'd ever want to play the Warriors in the postseason. This is a dynasty that's going to go. Kylan, you and I are someday going to be super old in our 70s, 80s, 90s. We're going to have children and young adults coming to us going, what was it like when you watched the one of the greatest dynasties anyone's ever witnessed? And we're going to tell them how amazing it was. It was one of the most dominant 10-year, 12-year, 15-year runs in NBA history. And we're going to absolutely talk about the dynasty continuing in the year 2023, I hope. But I certainly wouldn't want to play the Warriors. The Mavericks thing, I've been saying this for a while. That trade to get Kyrie was dumb because you gave up some quality players, some long wings, players who play defense, and you gave that up for a head case who, yes, offensively is a wizard, but he's not a player. He's not a great chemistry guy. I thought that was one of the dumbest things ever. And then for Mark Cuban to do that protest after the last game against the Warriors, the fact that the Mavericks are now 11th in the Western Conference, that's karma, man. If gods exist, they're striking. They need to repent. What was that word? Was that repent? The Mavericks need to repent for the sin of that protest. That was absolutely absurd. So the Mavericks right now, I don't fear the Mavericks at all. It wouldn't surprise me if they fell out of this thing altogether. And then the Lakers are looming at 37-37. The Lakers are a team, if LeBron comes back healthy and Anthony Davis is healthy, I wouldn't want to play them either. You know, like, they've actually, I think they're like 4 or 5 games above 500 since they made the trade to get like Jared Vanderbilt and D'Angelo Russell. That is not a team I want to face either. I'm not super worried about them if I'm the Warriors. If the Warriors are healthy, and when I say healthy, I mean Gary Payton II and Wiggins. But if you're the Warriors, don't have to worry probably about playing the Lakers in the early rounds. Anyway, it is fascinating to see what happens there. I want to mention real quick, and I'm reading from my phone this because Steve Kerr was asked during pregame from, our friend Ryan Leong, who has been a guest on the show a couple times, and he volunteered to ask questions on behalf of the Locked On Warriors program. And he asked me before today's press conference, do you want me to ask Kerr anything? And I was like, yeah, bring up Moody again. Ask him why Kerr, you know, even if Moody's having a great first half, we don't see him again. Like, what goes into that decision? And he asked, and Kerr said, gave a generic answer. So the question again was, when Moses Moody is productive, why does he still see a drop in minutes? And why do we sometimes not see him in second half of games when he has a great first half? Kerr responded with a quote-unquote generic answer and said he makes these decisions based on how the game is going. So in other words, Steve Kerr just is how he feels, and that's that. So, you know, if, I guess Kerr just has to feel like the game is going in a way where Moody should play. But Moody did play in the second half tonight. That was cool. I just like seeing him out there, so that was good. And look, a win's a win. I don't care how you do it. Just win. Yeah. Anything else? I feel like real quick, Jamichael Green, I thought, had a great game. I didn't want to end this show without mentioning him just because he played 13 minutes. He was playing some mean inside minutes against Joel Embiid, but he also was 2 for 3 from beyond the arc. And those threes were huge because those threes were occurring, I believe, in moments in the game where the 76ers had the lead and they were on the verge of pulling away and really making it difficult for the Warriors to come back. So Jamichael, who stands 6'8", 6'9", for him to go 4 for 5 from the field, 2 for 3 from beyond the arc, also grabbed 6 rebounds in only 13 minutes of play, scored 12 points tonight. Kudos to Jamichael Green. Great game. Anything you want to add about Jamichael or anything else as we wrap the show up tonight?
I tweeted out that after the first half, Jamichael Green had 10 points, 5 rebounds, which were both second best on the team. And I was like, huh, didn't have that one on my bingo card against the 76ers, but, you know, okay, we'll take it. I was very pleasantly surprised by Jamichael Green's play. If he can do that consistently, he might become a competitor for a fringe rotation spot maybe in the postseason, at least given certain matchups and when they need more size, which is something that I've said, you know, is a concern for the Warriors heading into the postseason. But I think he's had a couple good performances lately. This was certainly one of them. I thought he played really strong inside. He contributed once again on the boards, on the glass, which is an area the Warriors surprisingly won out against the 76ers. And I mean, I'm not mad about it. I was not expecting that. JMG has been pretty inconsistent this season, but he's looked good recently. He looked good today. And so, you know, we'll see if that continues.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'm actually going to the game Sunday. My good friend FP Santangelo, he was nice enough to invite me on his program on KNBR tonight, and then he brought up Sunday's game. He's like, come to the game with me. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll leave my house for once, you know, because I never leave my house. I don't like to leave my house. I like being home. But I'll go to the Warriors game. I'm going to hang out with him. So I'm going to go to the game Sunday. Hopefully we'll see Gary Payton the second. I'm going to go join Larry Kruger right now. So the party will continue there for anyone who wants to roll over there and hear some more Warriors discussion. Kylan, anything else you want to add before we wrap the show up? It's Friday night. Yeah, Douglas. Yeah, this is the old logic. If the Warriors lose, then I'm to blame. Yeah, that's unfortunately, I'm going to have to take the heat if the Warriors lose Sunday. But anything we want to add before we go?
My final thought is that the Warriors seem to be gelling and they seem to be clicking. And someone said in the comments, the grit is back. Yeah. And I agree. And this is the time where they need it back. Given the way the West has played out this season, I still think it's wide open for the Warriors to really grab a solid playoff seeding at the end of the regular season and to go into the postseason feeling pretty good. And I think that there are a couple series. Someone mentioned the Clippers being a concern. I kind of agree. I agree that maybe that's a team that I don't want to face, but I do feel like just given the Warriors' experience, for example, against the Grizzlies team, like I feel pretty good about a lot of the postseason matchups that the Warriors might be in if they can continue this momentum going. Another thing to keep in mind, Gary Payton II is going to be back soon, barring any type of major setback. That's going to be a huge boost. And there still is the possibility that Andrew Wiggins could come back. I think for this team to be a championship level team, they do need Wiggs, but I think they're going to be a very competitive team regardless without him, but you'd love to see him come back if at all
possible. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think the Warriors can make a run without him. To win the whole thing it might be asking for too much. Like I could even see the Warriors making the NBA finals without Wiggins. Just because the West, it's just, you look at all the other teams and this Warriors team could beat anyone in the West. And in a 7-game series without Wiggins. I don't know if they can beat Boston or Milwaukee. That's where I do wonder if the line is drawn. Let's hope that's not the case. Wiggins still could come back. No new news there. By the way, at the bottom of the screen, I have the Krug Show rolling as a ticker in case you want to come continue there. Kylan, I know you're calling it a wrap, right? You've had a long week. I don't blame you.
I'm calling it a wrap. But thank you, Carlos Austin, who said in the comments, great job, Cyrus and Kylan. Love your mix of passion and analysis. We do appreciate it because, you know, it does take some level of passion to spend a Friday night on talking to yourself, talking to a computer screen. But I appreciate all of you guys, and thanks for putting up with my dogs to all the people watching on YouTube or on our live stream, because y'all are family. So you get to come inside my office with me, and sometimes that means the dogs crash the set. You know, it is what it is.
And honestly, like until we learn more about Paul George, I'm not even without Paul George, I don't think the Clippers are a threat.
That's true.
And we don't know yet what's going on with that knee. They ruled it a hyperextended knee, but that looked so bad. And until I see him back in the court, playing effectively, I'm going to assume that he's gone for a while. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But this is Warriors basketball, right? It comes together at the right time. And here we go again. So 7 games remaining. Again, the Warriors victorious tonight. Final score, 120-112. And the Warriors, even though they're technically the 6th seed right now, they're just a half game behind the LA Clippers for the 4th seed. So we'll see how that goes. Follow us on Twitter again. Locked On Dubs is the handle. That's where we announce when we're recording shows, when we're live. But until then, folks, have a great weekend. Stay safe out there. Hopefully there won't be any rain for once. Yeah. Is that it? We good? We out? Bye, everyone. Take care.